Welcome to Keep You 100 Radio. I'm your host, Lissy Pointer, type 1 diabetic, certified health coach, personal trainer, and founder of Needles and Spoons Health and Wellness. Inside this podcast, you'll find the real and raw conversations around diabetes management, including the lessons that we don't learn in our endo's office, my best tips and trainings, and conversations from the experts that I trust inside the community so that you can create more predictability in your diabetes management and feel empowered while doing so. Let's dive in. Keep 100 Radio is brought to you in collaboration with SkinGrip, the only patch company that I trust with my diabetes devices. I started using SkinGrip about 2 years ago, and before I found them, my Dexcom would last maybe 4 or 5 days before falling off, making it really hard to lift weights, hike with my dogs, or just wanting to do the everyday things that I love. But now I can confidently travel, work out, and navigate life with diabetes without having to worry about dealing with insurance more than I have to, begging for replacements, and resorting to finger pricks. Plus, I'm in love with their mission to help us live fearlessly with diabetes. You can check out SkinGrip at skingrip.com and save 10% on your order by using the code Lissy, L-I-S-S-I-E, at checkout. Welcome back to Keep 100 Radio. Today we have Madeline Vasquez. Madeline is a registered dietitian nutritionist, certified diabetes care and education specialist, and certified pump trainer. Growing up, she witnessed firsthand how language barriers and lack of education and resources can impact somebody's health. For years, her grandmother suffered from diabetes because she was not receiving the proper resources or guidance within her diet. This fueled her passion to become a registered dietitian and CDCES. Since then, Madeline has worked in community settings, outpatient care, and has served individuals in diverse socioeconomic status. Her approach is to help provide evidence-based nutrition, education, and assist with realistic goals to build lifelong habits. Madeline's goal is to help manage your nutrition needs so you can navigate your life confidently. Madeline, welcome to Keep 100 Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Of course.
I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited to finally meet in person. I feel like I've been watching your Instagram for so long.
I know. Same here. Very excited to be here and to finally meet you as well.
Do you mind? I know that we kind of did a brief overview of you, but do you mind sharing a little bit more about yourself?
Well, as you mentioned, I am a dietitian and diabetes educator, and I have a huge passion for diabetes management and diabetes care. And, you know, that stems a lot from a family history of diabetes in my family. So that was the key driver to want me to, you know, start this career in terms of diabetes.
Yeah. We were just talking before the show started. I had no idea that you didn't have diabetes yourself. And I think that goes to show just how much information you put out there and how much you spread to your audience. So I'm just excited to, be talking today. When did that stem from? Like, when did that start? Did you always know that you wanted to work with people with diabetes? Or was that like you knew that you wanted to be a dietitian and it stemmed from there? How did that develop?
So actually, I didn't really come to terms that this was the career path that I wanted to take until about my senior year of high school. I think around that time, you know, going into my junior year, I was going through the loss of my grandmother. You know, she passed away from diabetes, and I was trying to, you know, figure out what path I wanted to take, and everything just slowly connected for me because I always had a passion for food. You know, my grandmother loved food, and, you know, she also had diabetes. And at the time, I was applying for colleges, and I remember taking a trip to Providence, Rhode Island, to visit my aunt and my cousins, and they tore me around Providence, and I came across Johnson & Wales University, and it was so funny because I was gonna go there for business, and I started learning more about the courses and, you know, everything that else that they offered. And I came across like culinary nutrition, and it just like lit inside me, like, this is the path that I'm supposed to take. You know, my grandmother loved food. That was her love language, like welcoming people and, you know, feeding them. And every time, you know, you visited, she just wanted to feed you. But then she was also struggling with diabetes. And the fact that she had diabetes also interfered with her relationship with food, because it was also, you know, very limiting.
Right.
At the time. Because she had no resources in regards to a registered dietitian or a diabetes educator like myself. She, you know, wasn't visiting doctor's offices. I don't think she even had an endocrinologist. So there was that lack of education and also resources for her that really kind of affected the course of her disease. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just kind of all came together, and I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be able to teach people about food. I want to be able to, you know, still allow them to be tied to their culture and not lose that upon a diagnosis and manage their health successfully.
I love that so much. I feel like the best practitioners and the best, like, coaches or dietitians always are people who have that connection to diabetes. Mm-hmm. And you can tell because the heart is in it. And especially when you work with those people and the way that you present your content on social media and work with your clients, like, you can really tell that that passion is there. So I love that so much. What did that look like? You know, you mentioned, like, the lack of resources for her journey. What did that look like to you growing up, of, like, what you saw her management look like?
You know, it was always very secretive. Like, my grandmother, she was the type of person that she didn't really want to put her burdens on other people. So she was the type to kind of keep everything to herself. But I also noticed that, you know, she would go to doctor's appointments, but there was not so much that continuous follow-up, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what led to her, you know, having a heart attack, because, you know, she would be traveling between the Dominican Republic and the U.S. And then when she was in the Dominican Republic, there was that huge gap in terms of just appointments and, you know, making sure that she was connected to all the different resources that there are out there for, mm-hmm. you know, diabetes. Right. So I think that, you know, I didn't really see much mm-hmm. of what her care entailed of, but I did know that, you know, she didn't really see a dietitian. She didn't really see a diabetes educator. I don't think she had an endocrinologist, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I'm working with patients, like, I try to put myself in a situation as if I were giving care to my grandmother and giving her the opportunities that she didn't have.
Right. I think that made such a difference. And to your point, like, before there wasn't, like, that social media mm-hmm. presence either. So now if you're not getting that support from your provider, mm-hmm. you can at least search online. I mean, when I was diagnosed, I was 19. So it was just at that cuff that people were starting to talk about it. And I think the first person that I found online with type 1 diabetes was Nick Jonas, which really wasn't too relatable at that point, because I'm like, I'm a college student at Penn State, can't really relate. But, you know, moving into how you work with your clients, I know that you said that you kind of treat everybody like you're talking to your grandmother and giving her that support. Mm-hmm. How do you find that impacts the outcomes that they have, both in their appointments or with your online coaching and in between?
And that's a really great question. And oftentimes when I'm working with someone, I feel that trust, right? Which I think is the most important thing, because oftentimes, you know, when I'm working with a patient and I'm going through the motion of, you know, why they're looking for additional support, they're just looking for someone to be able to, you know, hear them out, mm-hmm. most importantly, and also, you know, just take the time to see them beyond their diagnosis. And I think that really sets my care apart, right? Because I focus on what the patient needs at that right moment in time. And I focus more or less on making sure that their needs are being met. And it's mm-hmm. not just about an agenda that I want to, you know, portray onto that patient in regards to the education that I want to convey within that visit.
Yeah, I think that's really important, especially from a patient perspective. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you walk into these appointments and you feel like, okay, they're just checking their boxes and mm-hmm. this is just to meet the insurance quota that I went to the endo, you know, every 90 days, whatever it is. But having that specific tailored care where you know that you're being treated as an individual person, it makes you want to show up the next 90 days in between the next appointment. I've had a lot of horrible endocrinologists and dietitians in my diagnosis, and that really changed how I wanted to show up in those 90 days. I would either like, okay, well, why do I need to count my carbs? You know, is it worth it? You know, you kind of have those conversations, especially mm-hmm. when you're living this day to day, it's mm-hmm. exhausting. So if you can have somebody on your team that's empathetic and understanding and is mm-hmm. meeting you where you're at, instead of just saying, hey, you're not being compliant, you're not adhering to the plan that we mm-hmm. had, it makes the biggest difference. So thank you for showing up to your patients like
that. Thank you. And I understand that we are all going through different seasons in terms of, you know, your care, right? Mm-hmm. Like diabetes is 24/7, right? It's, you can't just turn it on or turn it off, right? And we're going through, like, when you're working with someone that has diabetes, we're going through different motions, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really identifying, okay, where is this person now and where do I need to get them next, right? And it might be something as simple as, hey, getting back into the routine of checking your blood sugars or even mm-hmm. taking your medication consistently because you were not doing that, right? Right. So that looks different for everyone. And that's why in my social media page, I love to emphasize that diabetes is not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Yes.
You know, and it's unique and it looks different on everyone. So there's no room for comparison when it comes to managing your diabetes.
Yeah. No, I love that. And what might feel kind of heavy to one person might be okay to the next person. So to your point of like, okay, how can we just get you being consistent with checking your blood sugars? How can we get you consistent with taking the insulin? And like, what are those roadblocks and that we have to uncover together? It's so important. So how long have you been working in the diabetes space?
So I've been working in the diabetes space now for, I'm going to say, over 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very fortunate because when I was doing my dietetic internship, I actually had a diabetes rotation and I worked alongside endocrinologists, nurse practitioners, dietitian, diabetes educators, and also nurses. And it was in outpatient care, and throughout my rotation, I knew like this is what I wanted, mm-hmm. right? Because there's different avenues that you can take when it comes to diabetes. And I knew that I wanted to be part of an interdisciplinary team. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to be able to provide education and also be part of that continuous care, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's why I didn't really want to do the hospital route, because oftentimes it's so short term. Yep. Versus when you're outpatient, like you mentioned, you can see that patient within, you know, 90 days or, you know, 6 months or even up to a year, and you can go through the motions with that patient and see, you know, how their A1C has improved mm-hmm. or, you know, the changes that they've made or the transitions, right? Like patients that might start with multiple daily injections and then transition to pumps. And mm-hmm. you were part of that. And you could just see how your care has helped them improve their overall quality of life.
Yeah, you actually get to have that relationship with them, which is so important. I had actually a really great endo that diagnosed me, or she was a nurse practitioner, but nonetheless, she was amazing. But yeah, it was very in and out, you're diagnosed, move on to the next person. And I wish that I had more of that ongoing relationship with that doctor, because they were so great. So yeah, to your point, I really liked that continuous relationship building, especially when it comes to diabetes. It's, like we mentioned, it's isolating, it's 24/7. Having that partnership within your management is so important. But with that being said, I mean, even in the past 5 years, there's been a lot of transitions as far as technology. Yes. So what has what have you seen from, you know, what has that looked like for you as a practitioner?
So when I started diabetes care, I was working in the type 2 space. And I realized that, you know, when I took on the position to work with an endocrinologist, how much I didn't know about diabetes. Mm. Because there was just like another world of diabetes that I was like unaware of. And, you know, that's when I had the opportunity to learn about type 1s, like the technology, CGMs, and the pumps, right? Mm. So it was really eye-opening and also very humbling. And I just wanted to like be a sponge and like absorb and continue growing. And, you know, when I worked with alongside the endocrinologist, that's what opened the door to, you know, sit for my diabetes care and education specialist exam and then get trained by Tandem and Omnipod and Dexcom to be able to, you know, be a certified pump trainer. So I was able to kind of go from learning about, you know, type 2 to then transitioning into type 1 and seeing, you know, how different they are, right? Mm-hmm. But also how far along the disease has come, you know, in terms of just like technology.
Yeah. Even when, I mean, even with type 1, when you go from MDI to a pump, like again, I was diagnosed at 19. I went to a pump right away after 6 months because injections just weren't my thing. I would not eat. And I was like, all right, this isn't healthy. But CGM, I didn't go on until about 4 years after. Mm-hmm. And like, I really think you don't realize the nuances of like basal rates, carb ratios, like how much things change even on an hourly basis until you make that transition to like different means of care. And everybody has their own preferences. I know people who are on MDI who are very successful, mm-hmm. and people who are on pumps that are very successful. So I just think it goes to show too that preference plays a huge priority in care, and you should have a say in, you know, what's the best fit for my lifestyle. So can you fill us in on, you know, what's the latest in diabetes tech?
So there's, within the last year, I'm sure that everyone is aware of the Omnipod 5, mm-hmm. right? So that's been, I feel like every week I'm training someone on the Omnipod 5, whether they're going to start the Omnipod 5 for the first time or they've been previously on the Omnipod Dash, right? So right now, you know, the Omnipod 5 has been a game changer for a lot of people with diabetes because of that hybrid closed loop, mm-hmm. right? So that has been one of the latest technology updates. And then we're also going to be training patients on the Dexcom G7.
Both. So like, I feel like those came out at like the same time almost, and we're just like whirlwind of like, okay, what to prioritize. So for anybody listening that hasn't heard of the Omnipod 5 yet, or maybe they're just new to the diabetes tech side, can you just explain what the difference is between the Dash and the 5?
Yeah. So the biggest difference between the Dash and the Omnipod 5 is that the Omnipod 5 now integrates with the Dexcom sensor. So the Dash is not a closed loop system, meaning that the pod cannot communicate with the sensor. Mm-hmm. In contrary, the Omnipod 5 can communicate with the actual sensor, and that's what allows the pump to be able to make adjustments to your insulin, meaning is it increasing that, mm-hmm. or decreasing it or even pausing it?
That's huge. I feel like we've been waiting for that forever. Like I remember just getting on the Omnipod and they were talking about that of like one day we'll have these closed loop systems where, you know, it's going to take so many decisions off of your plate, you'll get to actually sleep soundly throughout the night. So with that too, just a quick question. So there's a few hybrid pumps on the market right now, or mm-hmm. Looped pumps. Can you just walk through those briefly of what the different options are?
So currently right now, the pumps that I work with is the T-Slim, which is through Tandem. And then I also work with Omnipod. So we have the Omnipod 5. And we do see patients on the Medtronic pump, but not as often as the Tandem or the Omnipod.
Mm-hmm. What are the biggest differences between the Tandem and the Omnipod 5?
So in terms of differences, they're both hybrid closed loop systems, meaning that they both connect to the sensor. Mm-hmm. I would say that when it comes to the Omnipod 5, what happens with the Omnipod 5 is that it's predicting 60 minutes into the future in comparison to the Tandem T-Slim, which is 30 minutes into the future. And you also have the Omnipod 5, which is, you know, it's using those trending arrows as well to be able to make those adjustments. So let's say if the trending arrow is facing, it's going upwards, mm-hmm. but right now your sensor's saying, you know, your blood sugar is, you know, let's say your blood sugar is 70, but that trending arrow is upwards, instead of it pausing the insulin, because that's what we might think, oh, mm-hmm. I'm at 70, it might not necessarily pause it. It might increase your insulin needs because it's predicting that in the future you're going to go high.
Okay. So it's taking a little bit of multiple pieces of information.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And okay, so I've heard a little bit about the differences with the Omnipod 5 algorithm versus the T-Slim. It sounds like, and maybe I'm incorrect here, but it sounds like the Omnipod 5 does a little bit of learning of you for the first few weeks.
Yes.
How does that work?
So the way that it works, which is like another great, you know, tool, is that within the first 72 hours of you wearing that pump, then it's going to start adapting to your insulin needs over time. So in theory, those basal rates might increase or decrease because the pump is using that information to make sure that you're getting the insulin delivery that you need. Mm. So every pod change, the pod is collecting that data and essentially making sure that you're getting the insulin needs according to your own body, which is great to see that type of technology. And also, you know, one of the things that I like is that, you know, you don't have to worry so much about adjusting, mm-hmm. because, you know, you have the pump learning your body. Because oftentimes, you know, I work alongside patients that they go ahead and they, you know, adjust their settings, mm-hmm. and are constantly, you know, overlooking that, you know, hey, you have to trust the process, trust yeah. the system in itself. So that also helps to kind of break some ease overall.
Yeah. I really like that because, I mean, I'm not on the 5 yet. I'm still on the, I literally have my old school, like, little arrows, like, before okay. even the dash. And while it's nice to be able to be hands-on with, like, the basal rates, temp basaling up, it's 10 mm-hmm. bolusing, like, all of those things, you feel really in control and you kind of know your body. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it takes up so much mental energy to constantly be thinking of, like, okay, what do, like, is this a basal issue? Is this carb ratio? So is there even... is there even a need to go through like the basal rate testing process and everything, or is that just part of it learning you?
So you still do need to program mm-hmm. the basal settings, mm-hmm. the insulin to carb ratio, the sensitivity factor, and the target blood sugar. But, mm-hmm. you know, over time, it's going to adapt to that. So mm-hmm. if anything, what ends up changing is more of those ratios than mm-hmm. your actual basal, because the pump is learning your body and is being intuitive mm-hmm. to make sure that you're getting the basal rates that you need throughout mm-hmm. the 24 hours.
Okay. That's really cool too, because I mean, even thinking of in terms of like, we talk about a lot about like menstrual cycles in our program. So I feel like every episode I'm talking about the cycle, but like even knowing that, okay, we have different insulin needs throughout the mm-hmm. cycle. So like, how does that change? Like if it's going to learn you, that's really cool. And then just saying, okay, you have one basal rate throughout the month and everything. So I love that it's adaptive. That's really neat. So what are your, when your patients are coming to you for, you know, to transition from no pump or from the regular Omnipod to the Omnipod 5, what are the biggest learning curves for them?
I would say the biggest learning curve is trusting the system, and trusting the system in the sense of, you know, with the Omnipod 5 in comparison to the Dash, right? The Dash, you have control to pause insulin, right? Mm-hmm. But now that you're transitioning to a hybrid, you know, closed loop system, now the Omnipod is actually doing that for you. So a lot of the times patients are asking me like, well, do I have to pause it? And mm-hmm. if once you start and you transition to the pump, you'll notice that once you're on the smart adjust feature, which is the automated feature mm-hmm. that allows the pump to be able to do those adjustments and the pauses, you can't access the pause okay. feature. So you would have to switch, you know, mm-hmm. functions and go back to manual mode, which is similar to, you know, what the Dash is, in order to be able to pause that. So I think a lot of the times, especially if it's, you're working with a patient that is, has fear of lows, which is totally, you know, common and understandable, right? Because no one wants to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Their constant worry is the pump going to catch my low before it actually happens?
Right. So at what point does it catch that low?
So basically, if it's predicting that your blood sugar is going to go below 60, it's going to pause it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's the same. So in terms of, okay, to be able to manually suspend, you have to go into manual mode. It's the same thing for the extended bolus, right? Like you can't extend when you're in auto mode?
You can't extend. Mm-hmm. So that feature is only used in the Omnipod Dash.
Okay.
So let's say if you wanted to extend the bolus, you would have to switch modes. Mm. Because when you think about it, the Omnipod 5 is already, it's doing that for you, right? It's, you know, it's gonna, let's say if you're getting ready to bolus, it's going to take into consideration your active insulin mm-hmm. on board, right? It's also going to take into consideration, you know, what your current blood sugar is. So mm-hmm. it's going to give you that correction. So let's say if you have active insulin on board, it's either going to subtract or mm-hmm. add. And then it's also taking into consideration those trending arrows. So if it's predicting that you're going to go, you know, high, it's going to take that into consideration and either adjust an increase or decrease.
So it's taking out the work too for like high fat meals.
Exactly.
That's great.
Exactly.
I love that. Okay. So with that too, what are your patients' favorite features about the Omnipod 5?
And you brought up this, you know, this point earlier today, which was you have to be able to allow patients to make decisions for themselves in regards of what product mm-hmm. works best for them, because at the end of the day, they know what works best for their lifestyle, right? And, you know, oftentimes practitioners, you know, they could be biased towards certain products, right? Like this one is the leading one, let's go on this one, or vice versa. And a lot of the times you have to make sure that you're listening to that patient's need. And, regardless of which device they choose, they're both going to be great options. But most importantly, when I see that patients are on the Omnipod 5, it's because it's tubeless.
Yeah. Yeah. That was number one, the reason why I went on it, because I was like, I'm 19. I don't want anything attached to me. Maybe now I would try switching, but... So if somebody comes to you and they ask, like, they're like, hey, I want to go on a pump. I'm between these two options, mm-hmm. Either the Omnipod 5 or the Tandem T-Slim. I notice that they have similar features, more or less. How do you guide them in finding the one that best fits their lifestyle?
That's a really great question. So I think that it has a lot to do with, you know, their lifestyle. For sure. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's, you know, what are the important, you know, features that they want and they're looking for. So, you know, oftentimes if I'm working with someone and they're concerned about, you know, the tubing, right, because maybe they're an athlete, right, or, you know, they want they're constantly working out, so they need something that is not, you know, hanging on their body, then that kind of, you know, makes it a little bit more seamless to be able to determine like, hey, okay, this might be an option for you. But another thing that is huge in regards to identifying is also, you know, cost. Right? Cost. What is that going to look like for that person, like in terms of affordability? And then also just taking into consideration, you know, why they want to go on the pump and if they're even an appropriate candidate to go on the pump, right? Because like you mentioned in the beginning, there's a lot that goes into understanding the pump, right? You know, the carb counting, you know, insulin to carb ratio, you know, sensitivity factor, you know, your the basal rates, understanding timing of insulin in regards to bolusing, right? So it's also assessing those things and knowing, like, regardless of which pump they want to choose, are they actually ready to take on the responsibility of a pump, you know?
That's a really good point there too, because it is a big learning curve, especially when you're switching from MDI or you're newly diagnosed. And that's why I'm grateful that there are pump trainers. I remember the one from Omnipod that trained me, she literally came to my house and she, like, you know, really walked me through it. So it's a really valid thing to consider. Now, I saw the news, I think it was went live like last week from Freestyle, saying that the Libre 2 and the Libre 3 will be able to integrate with automated pumps. Is there anything that you know about that yet?
Or I don't know anything as of yet. Okay. It's still very, like, new. I wish I knew, but I still don't know much about, you know, what that's going to look like for them.
I think it's a huge step, because as far as accessibility and affordability, that will be huge, because I know that, you know, people are usually covered for those a little bit easier. They're a little bit cheaper. So I'm really excited to see that happen.
Yeah, that will be great. And I think that, you know, the sensors are part of what makes the hybrid closed loop system, you know, successful, right? Like, the ability to have that sensor really makes a difference. So the fact that now, you know, they're gearing towards that direction, that's really going to help with allowing people to have more options, for sure.
Absolutely. Which leads me to the next question, which is the G7. That is another big thing that just got pretty much released or rolled out in the US a few weeks ago, actually on my diversary, which I was kind of excited about. I was like, this is big. What can you tell us about that new sensor?
So there's a few features that I'm really excited about. The first, the feature that I am looking forward to the most is the warm-up time, which before it was 2 hours and now it's going to be 30 minutes. So that's going to be huge, because oftentimes when I'm training a patient, let's say if they're completely new to technology, they are, you know, they want to be walked through everything step by step, and even something as simple as like putting on the sensor. And before, that 2 hour warm-up period took a lot of, you know, time away from, you know, learning about how to start the pump, you know. So let's say in that case, that's really gonna make the process a lot more smoother. Another thing that is great about that, the G7, is that the transmitter and the actual sensor is all a one system.
That's gonna be so nice to not have to, I always worry about losing the transmitter, so I'll go and change it and then all of a sudden it's under my bed, or I'm like, okay, this needs to happen.
And a lot of the times I come across patients, like, let's say if they're starting on the device for the first time, they forget that they need to hold on to that transmitter for 90 days and throw it away.
Oh, no.
And, you know, when I'm training a patient, that's the first thing that I tell them. You need to make sure that you, you know, clean out the transmitter and set it aside and use it for the next 90 days. So it's going to be very interesting to see that new feature with the sensor.
Yeah, that'll be huge. And even like I'm the kind of person who I'm like, just in case I still need this, I'm gonna hold on to it. And then I have like a pile of transmitters. I'm like, okay, these don't even work. So I'm really excited for that and the warm up. I'm always surprised. I'll take my sensor off. My blood sugars are perfect. They're like 100. I'm like, all right, great. What can happen in the next 2 hours? And then all of a sudden, 2 hours later, I'm at like 250. I'm like, well, that escalated really quickly just from 2 hours of not having readings. So that's going to be huge. Have any of your patients gotten the G7 yet?
Not yet. No. I'm waiting. I haven't even seen patients on the Freestyle Libre 3.
Really?
Yeah. Which I know it's been prescribed because I've asked a few of the endos mm-hmm. that I work with. But I think now the transition is so, you know, great mm-hmm. when you're starting on these sensors that, you know, a lot of patients are able to, you know, self-start too, which is great.
Yeah. And I guess there's always that piece too of you have to wait for your insurance to actually cover it. I know for me, it's like I have to wait for my 3 months of G6 sensors to be up and then they can finally prescribe. So there's so many moving pieces to it too of when we actually might be released, but that doesn't mean it's really available yet.
Yes. So definitely, because I remember when I went to the ADCES conference last August, that's when they started talking about, you know, the Freestyle Libre 3 and mm-hmm. you know, the G7, and even Omnipod was already, you know, the Omnipod 5 was out, but it took, you know, a year later or right. months later to be able to see those in real time.
Right.
So there's a lot of preparation that goes into, you know, the release of these products. And you also have to make sure that they're FDA approved. So that makes the process even longer.
Yeah. And there's no telling when that happens.
Exactly.
I know one thing, everyone's always like, are you going on the 5? Are you going on the 5? And like, I'm like very happy just doing my old school Eros. But one thing that we're waiting for is for the integration with the iOS system. Because right now, I think it's just the Android and the Dash, right?
And that has been a challenge too, which sometimes that's why patients don't want to go on the Omnipod 5 because they have an iPhone and they're, mm-hmm. you know, it's not compatible. So they're just, you know, well, I want to be able to use it on my phone as well. And I want to minimize the use of multiple devices.
Which is totally fair. It's annoying to have to remember that thing all the time. My friend Taylor is in the back. She's in the other room. I remember literally I was going to help her out with one of the, she's a singer. So I was helping her out with one of the video shoots. I left my pump in my makeup bag. I drove 20 minutes and I'm like, I don't have my pump because one, it's not attached to me and it's just so easy to forget everywhere. So it's definitely valid. I'm excited for it to be available on the phone. Just have one less thing to carry. It'll be a lot easier.
Yeah. And the fact that you mentioned that too, the Omnipod 5, let's say if you forget it, you'll still be able to get those basal rates.
Okay.
You just won't be able to bolus because you need to be within 5 feet of the actual, you know,
okay.
device in order to bolus. So that's a great, you know, feature as well.
Is it still going off the auto mode then? Or is it just going off your
Yep.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yes. Yep.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my last big question, a few more questions, but last major one. So being in your space, seeing what you see on the technology side, being a pump trainer, what do you hope to see? I know they can't say of what you've learned, but what do you hope to see in the future of technology?
Honestly, I'm amazed by how far it's gone so far that I can't even fathom, like, what would it look like 10, 15 years from now? Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about the evolution of diabetes, like the fact that now you have a sensor that's able to communicate with the pump, that in itself is
huge.
So, you know, I'm very happy to be able to work with people that have diabetes, but I'm also extremely excited for, you know, all the work that these companies have been putting forward to make, you know, diabetes management more, you know, I guess more easier in a sense,
right,
for people, so that way they're not constantly feeling like they have to micromanage their diabetes. So it's definitely taking the weight off of that patient to an extent. You know, they still have responsibilities to do in terms of, you know, changing the devices and making sure that, you know, they're bolusing and carb counting, right? Like, that's what makes it a hybrid loop system. But it would be really nice to see like a completely closed looped.
That would be amazing. I cannot. Oh, I've heard people talk about like the day where if you're low, it'll give you like glucose and like all the things.
Yes.
That would
be amazing. You know, there's no talk about what the future holds, but that would be really like awesome to see.
Yeah.
If that does occur.
I'm sure it's in one day. I'm sure that they're already thinking of plans that we know nothing about. But even just in the last year of, the Omnipod 5, the advancements with the T-Slim, the new sensors, hearing about that Apple is working on being able to read your blood sugars from your watch.
That's
like things
so
like that.
Awesome. It's just so much, right? Yeah. It's so much, you know? And even, I think even when with T-Slim, when they had the feature where now you can bolus from your phone, like that to me was mind-blowing.
Yep.
Like, you know, how they're using something as simple as your phone to be able to allow you the... Which I think is genius because it makes it more discreet, you know, because some people are afraid of, you know, showing their pumps in, you know, in public or even maybe taking injections. So there's so many different systems out there that make it, you know, more, you know, applicable to feeling like you're part of the day to day versus feeling like you're, you know, you're an outsider.
Yeah, it's so huge. I'm so excited. And yeah, even then talking about Tidepool and the different features that they'll have, like there's so many different avenues I feel like technology is going now that no matter who you are, I think you'll be able to find something that works for you and for your lifestyle. And, you know, then there's a conversation of parents, you know, being able to support their child better. And like, there's just so much there. So I'm really grateful for this conversation. Can you let us know, you know, how you support people and where everyone can find you?
Of course. So I have my social media page. It's at diabetes.rd. And I also have my private practice, which is my passion project at the moment. And I accept insurances. So that allows me the opportunity to be able to, you know, provide care to individuals that don't want to pay for, you know, nutrition services out of pocket. So that's great. And I also do pump trainings as well. So it's been great to be able to integrate all the things that I love within my, you know, my private practice, like the pump trainings, the diabetes education, the nutrition counseling. So yeah.
You're like everything rolled into one. I love it.
Yes.
Well, thank you again so much. I will link your website, your Instagram, everything in the show notes, everyone can find you. But thank you so much for coming
on. Of course. Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
But everyone in the back learned so much about diabetes today. They're like,
I know. This was great. I loved it.